Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year to you all. Happy New Year. The computer at the back of the church had decided it was going to do its best to not make it a Happy New Year. And so 5 minutes before the service, it completely packed up. And we've just managed to get the old laptop working with the slides. And there's quite a lot of slides for our covenant service with our words on. So we will make the best of it. But I do apologise if we have a few technical hitches during the service. But we're doing our best. And Alan and Liz and Bill are working their hardest at the back there. So we will just manage. But it's lovely to see you all this morning, though. And thanks for your good wishes and everything. Some of you will know that myself and Ben and Emma all got COVID on the 23rd of December and kind of had to go into isolation. Trudy, my wife, she stayed negative completely throughout and went down to her mother's for Christmas. So we were just left like a leper colony at home. that was that. But we survived. And you had a nice time at your mum's, didn't you? But I hope you all had a lovely Christmas. And we join in worship this morning. I had some funny slides to show you. The first ones of 2022. These aren't typos particularly. But can we go on to the next slide? Yes, that's right. Three wise visitors. I thought that was very apt. They're busy doing their tests. Just doing their checks before they turn in, you know. This one, now I don't know if you can tell, but this is a church made out of lateral flow tests. Yeah? Clever little model, I thought. And, yes, this was somebody who posted up, I've just cancelled 6 tickets for the Kris Kringle service at 4 p.m. There are free tickets if you'd like them, but I don't know what a Kris Kringle service is, but given up their tickets for it. Okay, I thought you'd enjoy those. Joy is now going to come and lead us in the prayer for today.
Morning, everyone. Could you join with me in the prayer for this morning, first of Sunday in 2022? Father God, we gather here today in gratitude for the many signs of your goodness, in happiness, for experiences of joy, in sorrow, in the year that has gone. May we go out into the new year with a song on our lips and hope in our hearts, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. We sing our call to worship song then, the first time in 2022. Can you believe it? If we don't hear the sound on this video, I'm anticipating we'll slip out of sync with this. But the words will be on the screen, I think. I know that most of you know it, although any visitors won't. But never mind. We might just have to manage as best we can. Okay, shall we stand to sing? Come now is the time to worship. And those of you that can remember the words, just sing it heartily. So those who can't remember them. Let's pray together. Let's pray. First of all, some words from Isaiah 43. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Father, we thank you for this new day, and we thank you for this new year. We thank you that we can meet here together as your church family in Denton Burn once again. Lord, we meet to worship you and to thank you for all that you are and all that you have done for us. We thank you that you do indeed make a way in the wilderness for us, and you provide water in the wilderness for us, that when we feel dry and thirsty, and life might be feeling hard, you invite us to come and drink at the well that never runs dry. You fill us with your Spirit, and you encourage us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so we pray that we might be transformed as we meet together this morning. And on this morning, when we renew once again our covenant promises with you, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, even in those times when we wander away from you, Lord, distracted by differing priorities. You continue to love us and constantly beckon us back into a closer relationship with you. Lord, you are our rock and our sure foundation, even when all around feels perhaps like shifting sands sometimes. In these continuing uncertain times, Lord Jesus, may we place you at the center and make you the solid rock upon which we build our lives. Lord, we come to worship in your presence. We come to feel the touch of your Spirit. And we ask that you would purify and then speak into our hearts today as we open them before you. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We were going to sing again now. Are you giving out the hymn books? That's brilliant. Would you like to turn to number 508 in your Singing the Faith books? 508 when you get your book. I think I'm going to need one as well, actually. Thank you, Joy. Thank you very much. 508, yeah, if you can turn to 508. This really is then a prayer that the Lord would purify our hearts. Let me be as gold and precious silver, says verse 1. So 508. Please be seated. Right. Let me just pop that there. That's it. I'm going to stick this microphone now. On now. If I can, see if you can hear me through this one. Just pop it on. That's it. Testing 1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 2, 3. No? Oh, yes, there we are. That's it. Right. Okay. So, I wonder if anybody could help me. I want to stick some things up this morning with some blue tack, if I can find where I put it. Where have I put it? Here it is. Right. I've got here, they're kind of like a list of different commitments. Okay? Different kinds of commitments. And we're going to try and put them in order as to which we think from the most important, well, the least important to perhaps the most important commitments. Okay? Would anybody like to want to help me stick them up? Yeah? Will you help me stick them up? Come on then. Come on, you guys. Right. Where should we put them? Should we put them along the front, do you think? Right. Okay. Would you like to hold it up and show everybody, see if they can see what it is? Right. Can you read that one? It says, chores, yes, I will do the washing up. Okay. Shall we stick that one up first? It went a bit of blue tack there. Right. Where should we put them, do we think? Shall we put them along the front rail here?
Yeah.
Yeah? Let's put them on the front rail. So if you go and pop it on the front, that's it. Okay. Right. Right. Would you like to hold that one up? You're tall, aren't you? I'm sure you can hold it. Can you see what this one says?
That's it, wait. Can you read that one? It says, outdoor help, yes, I'll walk the dog. Now, is that a bigger commitment or a smaller commitment to doing the washing up? What do you think? You think that's a bigger commitment, is it? So which way are we going to do them? Are you going to put that on this side then? Because we think that's a bigger commitment. Okay. All right, well done. Has that one stuck on there, has it? Do you want to try and hold the next one up? Right. What about this commitment? Yes, I will go on a date with you. Is that bigger than walking the dog and doing the washing up? No. I think it is. I think that's probably the biggest one so far, the biggest commitment so far. So shall we? You don't think so? Okay. Obviously, a
very laid-back sort of guy. Okay. All right then. Fair enough. Where's the blue tag gone? Have I lost it? Oh, everything's going wrong this morning. Oh, thank you. Right. Now, what is this one? Do you want to hold that one up?
That's it. Hold that one up.
It says, relationship. Yes, I'll be your boyfriend or girlfriend.
That's quite a big commitment, that is, isn't it?
You want some blue tack? There we go. So let's put that as the most important one so far, although going on the dates dropped off the end somewhere there. But, what about... Can I hold that one up so people can read it? Can you read that one? A band clone. What's it say? Yes. I'll enter into a loan agreement with a bank.
That's not... It's quite important, isn't it? Oh, we're putting...
That's very important. You've got to sign your name against that one, haven't you, really? So... Is it going on that side, is it? Okay, that's fair enough. We can put it there. What about this one? Can you read up what that one says?
Can you read that one? Marriage. Yes, I will marry you.
Is that a big commitment? Thank you. I'm glad we're in agreement on that one.
So shall we pop that one? Let's pop that one as very important, shall we? It's probably disappearing behind the organ, so people... Never mind. Perhaps we should have put them up the wall with ladders. But we haven't got any ladders, and given the amount of things that have gone wrong this morning, I think getting step ladders out would be a bad idea. So we've got that as the most important one so far. Right, would you like to hold up the last one? Yeah? Can you read that one? Commitment to God.
Yes, Lord, I want to be in relationship with you. Our commitment to God. Where do you think we should put that one? First and foremost. Oh, we can't put that one next to the washing up. We make space that side. There's your blue tack. Okay.
That's a very important one. You don't want to put it that side. Maybe we should have turned them all around and gone that way. He's really not sure. We're having a big discussion at the front here as to what's the most... Should we
put it above all the others? Should we stick it up on the lectern up here?
That's a good idea. Let's put it there, shall we? That's brilliant. Thank you. Give him a round of applause. Thank you. Is that one stuck on? That's good. So... all different levels of commitment here, and we might have a disagreement as to where some of them should be, but we all agree that perhaps, well, we've got marriage, commitment to marriage, and we've also got commitment to God as very, very high priority commitments. As we journey through any relationship, there comes a point where that relationship is often to be cemented by a formal commitment or covenant. And it sets a kind of a sure foundation
for that relationship. And God, of course, desires to be in relationship with all of us. And he invites us through Jesus to enter into a covenant that's all about relationship with him. And of course, today is our special once a year service called the Covenant Service. And a covenant is really just another word for a pledge or a promise. The Bible teaches us about a number of pledges or covenants that God made with humankind, us, over the course of history, because of his desire for a relationship with us. And the big covenant or pledge that God makes to us is in him sending Jesus. At the Last Supper, Jesus had his disciples around him, and he took the wine and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, shared out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." So Jesus himself is God's pledge or covenant towards us. And so once a year, in gratitude, we make our pledges or promises to God, towards God. And they're quite serious promises where we offer our hearts and our lives, we say, freely and wholeheartedly to God, taking time to specifically pledge ourselves to God with some specific promises in gratitude for all that God has done for us. Okay, we're going to have our Old Testament reading now, but actually I think, are you going to take the children out? Okay, let's just have a little prayer before the young ones go out to their Sunday club. Lord, on this Sunday of the first Sunday of a new year, we ask, Lord, that you would bless each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, and bless the young ones now as they go out to Sunday club to spend some time together. And may we all know your love and your peace this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll see you later then. And thanks for helping. Thank you. Adeline, are you coming? Yeah. Okay. Wow, we've got a lit candle over there, haven't we? That's nice. Okay. So we've got our two Bible readings for this morning now. Firstly, our Old Testament reading from the prophet Jeremiah, which looks ahead to a new kind of covenant that God was making with his people, where his law is written not onto sheets of papyrus or tablets of stone, but is written instead onto people's hearts. And then after that, a reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, which I felt was right for this morning, as Paul encourages the people of the church in Philippi to always rejoice, whatever the circumstances might be. And I think that can apply to us too. So we've got our readings. Thanks, Helen.
First reading, as you can see, is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive them their iniquity and remember their sin no more. For the word that inspires us We praise you, O God.
And the New Testament reading is from Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about doing these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have received your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I wanted us to just sing. It's a really short hymn, just unaccompanied this morning. And that's it, really. That's just one slide. I don't know how many of you know this one, but I'll sing you the tune. If I can remember it, you can remind me of it as well. And it's just this. Okay. Can we just go on to the next slide? Thank you. Something that I think the Methodist Church can be rightly proud of from the early days is this commitment to reaffirming our covenant promises with God once a year, going through a specific and formal set of promises which we're making as individuals as well as a church together. And I think that's a good thing, because the beginning of a new year is always a good time to reflect and take stock on all sorts of things. But what a strange year we've just left behind us. Nearly as strange, or perhaps equally as strange, as 2020, the year before. And I suspect that as we all enter, in a way, we all enter this new year with a greater sense of uncertainty than we perhaps would have done, say, 5 years ago. In some ways, it's not been a great couple of years, has it? Things we took for granted as always being so year by year, maybe these days feel a little less certain. After last Christmas, who would have dreamt that a whole year later, many Christmas plans and events once again would be cancelled? Who would have dreamt that your minister would be having to say to you 2 days before Christmas, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to isolate. I've tested positive for COVID. I can't take the Christmas services. As we plunge into a new year, 2022, it's right that once again we affirm our covenant promises. But I think that this year, perhaps more than any other year, we need to reaffirm too God's faithfulness to us, even in those times when the things around us seem a little dislodged and a little less certain. We perhaps need to celebrate more than ever that, to quote an old Cliff Richard song, Jesus
is the rock that doesn't roll. Or, to quote another old Cliff Richard song, Jesus is the rock and he rolled my blues away. For those of us that at some point in our lives have made wedding vows, we make those vows as we enter into a marriage covenant, without knowing what the future holds, with the way ahead not necessarily clear. And the vows themselves reflect that uncertainty into the future as we commit to that marriage relationship. What do we say? We say, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. The very vows themselves are part of a marriage covenant agreement that is meant for the good times as well as for the more difficult times. It's about a relationship being cemented and moving forward into uncertain times where there are no guarantees about what is coming ahead. And the new spiritual covenant, if you like, heralded in by Jesus and offered to us here today, is all about relationship too. I love that prophecy that Helen read from Jeremiah 31, where God foresees a new kind of covenant, not, he says, like the one he previously made with the Israelites when they were freed from Egypt, and one which God says that the people broke. With the new covenant, God says, I will put my law, my teaching within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And God paints the picture of people not needing to be taught about him from one to another in a cerebral knowledge kind of way, because God says, they shall all know me. They shall know me. This new covenant is not primarily about the head and education. It's about the heart and relationship. And I've been long fascinated by how much like a marriage covenant we enter into with Jesus. It's a really significant metaphor that the New Testament uses in many different sections and contexts of Jesus being like the bridegroom and the church, everyone committed to Jesus, being like the bride or his bride-to-be. And it's a metaphor that's all over the place in the scriptures. There's that time when John the Baptist responds to those around him who are pointing out that Jesus has started baptizing people in the River Jordan too. And John says to them, you yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. And then he continues, the friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and it is now complete, he says to them. So John describes himself as being like a friend listening out for the bridegroom. In Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, he's encouraging husbands to love their wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And he draws a clear parallel between a man becoming one flesh with his wife, the two becoming one, in the same way as Jesus becomes one with the church, his people. This is a profound mystery, he writes, but I'm talking about Christ and the church, he says. But this idea of our new covenant with Jesus as being like a marriage covenant gets even more profound, as is often the case, when you look at the historical context and you look at some of the ancient Jewish marriage preparations that some historians describe and which I've mentioned before because it fascinates me so much. Because there was often a sort of engagement party or betrothal ceremony. And at this betrothal ceremony, a ring might be given. And Paul once wrote to the church at Corinth, now he who established us with you in Christ and anointed us in God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as pledge. Now the word pledge there in Greek is the word arabim, which is also the word used for an engagement ring. So the Spirit is described almost as being like an engagement ring here in our hearts. Then there was the washing ritual. The bride-to-be underwent a ritual washing called the mikvah, which was a water immersion, which is a ritual cleansing. Mikvah is a Hebrew word which means pool or body of water. And it was a ceremonial act of purification by the immersion in water, indicating a separation from a former way to a new way. Does that sound familiar? A bit like a water baptism. Now put your communion thinking caps on. We're at the engagement party, and the groom-to-be would take a cup of wine and offer it to his bride-to-be in what was essentially a marriage covenant offer. The cup was known as the cup of the covenant. And he would take a sip, and then he would take the cup, and by the bride-to-be accepting it from him, she was basically saying, "Yes, I will marry you." And then she would take a sip, and in doing so, the couple drink from a common cup, indicating their oneness. The two become one. The cup of the covenant. And then, in the Jewish tradition, the bridegroom would go back to his father's house, and in some cases, he would build an addition onto the family home. And then she would go and live with him there someday. And so, if the betrothed had said yes by sipping from the cup of the covenant, the groom would declare to his future bride something along the lines of this: "In my father's house are many rooms. I'll go there to prepare a place for you, and then I will come and get you and take you back to the place where I am, so that where I am, you may be also." Does that sound quite familiar to some? We quote some incredibly similar words of Jesus to his followers from John chapter 14 in many funeral services. The bridegroom goes to prepare a place for the bride. The bridegroom, Jesus, goes away for a time. And the church, the bride, the betrothed, is in a period of preparation. The ring, the Spirit as pledge. The baptism, the washing, and the cup of the covenant. And Jesus goes to prepare a place. Our covenant pledge is, I believe, in effect, our betrothal to Jesus, together as a church, as his bride. It's about intimacy, it's about relationship, and it's about the heart. And of course, like any such betrothal, it's not to be entered into lightly or flippantly. And perhaps one of the dangers of prayers and pledges that we recite, even just annually, is their potential familiarity. And like any prayers, we can end up just spouting words while perhaps wondering what's for dinner later. And the prayers that we pray as part of the covenant service are quite dangerous, really, if we mean them. "I'm no longer my own, but yours. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal." These are big prayers and not to be entered into lightly. But it's a betrothal with the living Lord Jesus, who desires us as his bride to become one with him and to share the kingdom adventure with him. Because Jesus, the bridegroom's ministry here in this broken world, has not ended. And he invites us, his betrothed, to join him in the process of healing and restoration of the world around us. And like a marriage covenant, it's one that we enter, you could say, for better or for worse, for richer, for poorer. Like human marriage vows, we enter the covenant even though we don't know what's ahead. And the reason why I wanted to include the other reading today from Paul's letter to the Philippians was because it was Paul showing them, and us too, how to rejoice in our relationship with God, even when circumstances are difficult. When he wrote, "Rejoice," and again I say rejoice, he was stuck in prison. He was in lockdown. With the way ahead very unclear, he was pretty much on death row. In fact, eventually he is executed for his refusal to say Caesar is Lord instead of his insistence that Jesus is Lord. He's facing his own death, and yet still he says, rejoice, because he'd been completely transformed by his covenant relationship with Jesus. Joy and celebration for Paul are evidence of a particular kind of formation. Joy is not for people for whom everything has gone well for them and they're happy and they're wealthy and they're healthy and all the kids are doing well and everything's above average. Happy, joy, rejoicing in the scriptures is not about for people who the dice roll differently for them and so they can be joyful or happy. So often it's those who suffered the most who actually have the greatest joy, because the suffering has formed in them something. When Paul says rejoice, and again I say rejoice, this is not a cliche. This is rejoicing that's been forged out of suffering and challenges. This is somebody who's been betrayed, he's been mocked, he's been hounded by the religious establishment, and who don't like what he's doing and they want him dead. In the midst of all that, he says, rejoice, wake up, there's gift all around you. One of my favourite quotes from the Californian pastor, Bill Johnson, is this: faith doesn't deny a problem's existence, it denies it a place of influence. Faith doesn't deny a problem's existence, it denies it a place of influence. And that's what we celebrate as we reaffirm our covenant promises today. Wesley took them so seriously that he insisted on a day's retreat for people to prepare themselves before making the covenant promises. I'm sorry, you're too late for a day's retreat now. But today, Jesus, the bridegroom, holds out to you, to me, to all of us, the cup of the covenant. And as you receive your wine today as part of communion, this is the bridegroom Jesus, his cup of the covenant with you, his betrothed, the church, the bride of Christ. Because it's about relationship with him, it's about oneness with him, and it's about service for and with him, even in uncertain times. So maybe even more than usual, we can stand on this cusp of a new year with all of its uncertainties. And as we look behind us and ahead of us, we can declare, we'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that is to come. Because this is the God we adore. Or could we say it this way, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, we choose to betroth ourselves to the one who is our solid rock, our sure foundation, in a time of shifting sands. Amen. We sing again now the covenant hymn, so you'll need to turn to your red books. We have got the words on the screen for this, which you could step through. So we're going to sing together. Come, let us use the grace divine, and all with one accord, in a perpetual covenant, join ourselves to Christ the Lord. Please be seated. If you'd like to sit down just for now, and then I'll stand in a moment. So, as we work our way through the covenant promises, the words in bold yellow type are your responses. Okay.
So God made a covenant with the people of Israel, calling them to be a holy nation, chosen to bear witness to his steadfast love by finding delight in the law. The covenant was renewed in Jesus Christ, our Lord, in his life, work, death, and resurrection. In him, all people may be set free from sin and its power and united in love and obedience. In this covenant, God promises us new life in Christ. For our part, we promise to live no longer for ourselves, but for God. We meet, therefore, as generations have met before us, to renew the covenant which bound them and binds us to God. Let us then seek forgiveness for the sin by which we have denied God's claim upon us. And so we pray, God of mercy, hear us as we confess our sins. For the sin that has made us slow to learn from Christ, reluctant to follow him sometimes, and afraid to bear the cross. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. For the sin that has caused the poverty of our worship, the formality and selfishness of our prayers, our neglect of fellowship and the means of grace, and our hesitating witness for Christ. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. For the sin that has led us to misuse your gifts, evade our responsibilities, and fail to be good stewards of your creation. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. For the sin that has made us unwilling to overcome evil with good, tolerant of injustice, quick to condemn, and selfish in sharing your love with others. Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. And just have a moment of silence. So we pray together. Have mercy on me, O God, in your constant love, in the fullness of your mercy. Blot out my offences, wash away all my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Give me the joy of your help again, and strengthen me with a willing spirit. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, to all who truly repent, this is his gracious word: your sins are forgiven. Amen. Thanks be to God. Can I ask you please to stand if you're able? So, beloved in Christ, let us again claim for ourselves this covenant which God has made with his people and take upon us the yoke of Christ. This means that we are content that he appoint us our place and work, and that he himself be our reward. Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy, some are difficult. Some bring honour, others bring reproach. Some are suitable to our natural inclinations and material interests. Others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. In others we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. Yet the power to do all these things is given to us in Christ, who strengthens us. Therefore, let us make this covenant of God our own. Let us give ourselves to him, trusting in his promises and relying on his grace. Lord God, Holy Father, since you have called us through Christ to share in this gracious covenant, we take upon ourselves with joy the yoke of obedience, and for love of you, engage ourselves to seek and do your perfect will. We are no longer our own, but yours. So we say together, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will, rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours, so be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Please be seated. As we have entered this covenant, not for ourselves alone, but as God's servants and witnesses, let us pray for the church and for the world. Loving God, hear us as we pray for Christians all over the world. Make us all one, that the world may believe. Inspire and lead all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world. Establish justice and peace among all people. Have compassion, Lord, on all who suffer from any sickness, grief, or trouble. Deliver them from their distress. We praise you for all your saints who have entered your eternal glory. Bring us all to share in your heavenly kingdom. So let's now just pray in silence for our own needs and for those of others too. Let's just have a moment of quiet before God. Lord, we hold before you all those who were on our hearts this morning. May you wrap your loving arms around them, and may they know your love and your grace. Lord, our God, you have helped us by your grace to make these prayers, and you have promised through Christ our Lord that when two or three agree in his name, you will grant what they ask.
Answer now your servants' prayers according to their needs. In this world, grant that we may truly know you, and in the world to come, graciously give us eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So we come to our sharing of the peace. The Lord has made an everlasting covenant of peace with his people. So the peace of the Lord be always with you. Now, can you remember our sign language peace? So it's fingers together like this, and it's peace be with you. Okay? Peace be with you. So would you like to turn to those around you and offer them peace be with you?
I think I'll leave you seated, actually. I won't make you stand up. Oh, can we go back a slide? Thank you. So the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God our Father, fountain of goodness, creator of all that is, you have made us in your own image. You have given us life and reason and love for one another, setting in our hearts a hunger for you. In darkness, you are our light. In adversity and temptation, our strength. You bear patiently with our folly and sin, granting us your law to guide us and your prophets to renew our faith. In the fullness of time, you came to us in love and mercy in Jesus Christ, your living word, full of grace and truth. He lived among us, declaring your forgiveness and revealing your wisdom. In his works of mercy and in his word of power, for us he suffered and died upon the cross, by death destroying death. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your people, gathered together in every time and place to glorify your holy name. With them and all the company of heaven, we join in the unending hymn of praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, pour out your Spirit, that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And so, Lord, we obey his command with this bread and this cup, by which we recall his death and resurrection, the source of our life and salvation. Grant that we who share in this holy sacrament may be united by your Spirit and grow in perfect love. Bring us with those who have done your will in every age into the light of your presence and the joy of your kingdom. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. And so, as our Saviour taught his disciples, so we too pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The things of God for God's holy people. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord. Glory to God the Father. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me shall not hunger, and those who believe in me shall never thirst. So draw near with faith and feed on his body and blood by faith and with thanksgiving. And if you just remain seated, and we will be bringing the elements out to you. Helen, can I ask if you can come and help, could you? Thank you. And so we pray together. Faithful God, with these holy gifts you have fed and strengthened us in Jesus Christ your Son. Guide us on our way, that with all your faithful people we may come to share the feast with the eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we sing together our final hymn. Words are on the screen, but in your books it's number 470, 470. Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided. And so the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.